Hey there, Hillary.
Hey, Jenny.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm laughing a little. We have been on this call already for 16 minutes, and I think I just talked for 15 and a half of them.
This episode is going to go in a different direction than we originally thought it was going to go last week.
Yeah. So first of all, welcome to Kissing Lips and Breaking Hearts with the Garden Hearts.
We are recording on March 4th. If you're listening, it is on or after March 6th. This is season 6, episode 10.
So last week when we recorded, we pretty much just whined and wallowed the whole time about how we'll never see you two at Sphere again. And there were more shows to come. And then I did a thing of which no one was surprised about.
No.
Here's what was surprising was the timing. That I can't believe it worked out. So I went, this is Jenny. I went out to the final show. Here's the thing. Like, first of all, it's a 4-hour flight, y'all, from where I am. Like, it's not like I can just drive 2 hours to Pittsburgh and back or something. Like, it takes time to get to Vegas and back. And I had something for one of my kids the night before, Friday night. So I knew I couldn't go to Friday's show. Saturday mid-morning, actually from 10 to 11, I had a work meeting that I had to run. So how the fuck would I get to Vegas in time? There's no way there'd be a midday nonstop. Like, none of this was going to work. But I decided to look. And sure as shit, I got there. And all on frequent flyer travel reward points, too.
Amazing.
That's why it worked. I not only did the timing work of the flights and they were free with reward points. Someone had an extra ticket and someone had an extra bed. Holy crap. I was in Vegas for 22 hours.
Just long enough.
Just long enough to not sleep and feel pretty fucked up right now. And to see the U2s on their final night. Well, let's talk about the Friday night first, the one, yes, I didn't go to. Show number 39. I think it was a pretty regular set list. Yeah, I forget what the turntable was, but I think it was Rattle and Hum.
It was Rattle and Hum.
But the big thing is that The big thing was that Larry was there. Now, I had heard he'd been at a few other shows. But this, if he was, he wasn't recognized. This one, he was like called out to. Yeah. And everyone cheered. And it was just so awesome to see him there in the videos that we saw. Yeah. I laughed and laughed because you, Hillary, had an encounter with Bono once where he said he's never been to a U2 show.
Right.
He's been at them, but never to them. And I'm like, Larry's the only one who can say he's been to a U2 show.
Yeah.
There's some funny fake headline news story going around that says Dublin man finally, after 50 years, finally secures ticket to U2 show.
Yeah.
It's Larry. He was wearing a walking boot because I guess drumming's hard. If you're just hitting that bass drum with one foot the whole, for 40, 50 years, holy crap, I never even thought about that.
Mm-mm.
So it sounds like he's had surgery from head to toe. So hopefully that was his last one.
Yeah. He looked good.
he looked great and he looked happy to be there. And his partner, Anne, was there. Oh, actually, a lot of the U2 family was there. Allie was there. Morley, Levi.
Eli.
Eli also?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Gavin was there. I think Googie was there. Or was he there the weekend before? I don't know. But I said Gavin was definitely there that Friday. No, because we talked about Googie being there the weekend before. Yeah. Who else did they say? Rocky Mac. Oh, Norman was there. Oh, his brother was there.
Mm.
So that's cool. That's super cool. Helena Christensen. It sounds like it was a good show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and then came the final show. My goodness. I still can't process it, Hillary. It's so hard to process. I got to go to Juice Station before the show one last time to say goodbye. I didn't know it was going to be open the next morning, so I went in again. But I just really wanted to, I wanted to see the Travi signed by the band. That was cool.
That's worth mentioning that Friday night.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it wasn't Friday night. It was Thursday night, right?
Yeah, it must have been. Yeah, because Friday there was a show, so it must have been Thursday.
The band went to Zoo Station, the Venetian, and did a meet and greet.
Yeah, outside.
And they signed the Trabant.
I think they were doing filming. They were filming in there for whether it's the Sphere movie or a documentary. Like, I don't know, but they were doing official filming. And yeah, they had stanchions set up so they could talk to fans, all four of them, the fourth being Bram.
Yeah.
And I love that he is so included in this. He's been working so hard. And we are so thankful for him. I love that he is like officially part of the U2 family.
Yeah, definitely.
And that also makes me feel good from a Larry standpoint and the band, other band member standpoint that, you know, that's a good relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause Larry could say fuck no.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. When Bono was introducing them for Desire and he likes to do like the circus metaphor, you know, he asked Bram what's his act in the circus? And then he gave him like two or three choices. I'm like, is this multiple choice or do you want him to fill in the blank? I was like, you can stop talking now, dude. But Bram, his answer was the safety net.
Oh.
And
that's a good answer.
It didn't sound pre-planned.
Yeah.
But maybe it was. But anyway, that was a perfect answer.
Yeah.
Perfect answer. Oh, when I was in Zoo Station, the second floor was closed for like the VIP, the vibey people. And I was really sad because, as I've mentioned before, the Octane Old Fashioned is like my favorite drink I've ever had in the world. And I was like, I'm never going to have one again. And then as I was walking the walkway from the Venetian to the Sphere, they had a bar set up with those drinks.
Oh, wow.
So I fucking got one. And I was like, am I able to carry this over to the venue? And Lee's like, yeah. I mean, down the stairs and on the street. Can I carry this? She's like, yeah, of course. I'm like, sweet Jesus, Vegas, let's go. So I didn't have to chug it and I could enjoy it, which was nice.
Good.
So I got to finish it in line. I met a lot more people who came up because of the shirts and stuff. I was out of bracelets, but met lots of people and saw people that we had met in October and people that we had met, you know, the 2 weeks prior, people who didn't know I was coming and were like, what the fuck? It was a blast. And I realized so much that as much as I, the thought of missing the final show and anything special that might happen, even if that special was the vibe,
Yeah.
as opposed to special songs, the biggest FOMO was not experiencing it with these people. I mean, the biggest hole in the trip was you and Amanda. Absolutely. The biggest hole in it was that. That would have made it perfect. But it was pretty fucking close to perfect. It was the only thing missing. The show.
Yes.
I feel like I'm just talking.
No, keep talking. You've got a lot to talk about.
Okay. The show started. So the band usually comes on at 8:30. And oh, they let us in super late, not till like 6:55. And we learned it was because the band was still on stage rehearsing stuff. And I know that they had been rehearsing stuff the day before. I'm sure the fact that Jill Biden was there didn't help either.
Yeah.
Someone said that they did see like dogs, like sniffing dogs and stuff. I didn't notice that. But so we're like, the rumors of them rehearsing a song that they haven't done before feel very, very true. And then someone said they heard what it was. And I'm like, that sounds plausible, but I'm still just going to hold on to it. Could be whatever. And we'll get there. So then Paulie, oh, and then like the screen was jacked.
Yeah.
There was a huge black part that they needed to fix, like almost like kind of straight up from the stage. And I now see pictures from the seats that people took of it, and you can see people behind there working on it. So that took forever. I ended up getting some other drink. I forget what it was called. So DJ Pauly didn't come on until almost 8:30, 8:20. I don't know. So he did a very condensed set of like 30 minutes. I did give him a Garden Tart keychain.
Oh.
Working it. And then I posted a story of it and he liked the story, which made me feel very happy. And then the band came on, you know. He wasn't even, like, he was still at the very, very end of his last song when the helicopter came up top. Like, they were like, boom, boom, boom. Because it was almost 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
8:55, maybe.
Yeah, I listened to most of the show.
Yeah. Oh, cool. I just want to say the Bono being the fly on that, like, turntable, I really think he's living his best life up there. It's like...
I hope so.
It's like... It's brilliant. I mean, we've seen a lot of the choreography he's been given and executed, and it's sometimes questionable.
Yeah.
This is fucking cool. He's like the Octune baby ladies, Kelly and PJ, call them pleasing shapes. Bono's pleasing shapes. They have a whole series of them, and now they'll have more because of this, but... God, it's so good for pictures. It was just like, oh, fantastic. So normal set. It was Chris Martin from Coldplay was there. It's his birthday. So at some point, I don't even remember where, Bono sang a little bit of Yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And said, happy birthday, Chris Martin. During One, when Bono was introducing One, he also introduced, I forget exactly how I said it, but Daniel Lanois to come play with them. He was a co-producer on Octone Baby and instrumental in that album and probably that song in Saving Our Band. And it was a weird introduction. And the people all around were like, oh, Danny Lanois here, blah, blah, blah. And then the song kind of went in and we're like, is he coming? And it took a little bit, it felt longer than like it should have, but then he came on stage and played guitar. I'm assuming the part that Bono used to play, and sang with him. And it was just a really cool moment. You could just tell that Edge and Bono and Adam were just tickled to have him there.
Yeah.
It's very cool. Well, I should say we were standing on Adam's side all the way up by the screen, by the railing. So we had a side view of everything. The other big thing was the version of the Crowded House version of Don't Dream It's Over that the band has been doing. Oh, so first I'm like, maybe that's what they were rehearsing. One with Landwehr.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Bono went into this thing about how they got this email from Neil Finn, who wrote that song for Crowded House. And attached to it was a new version of it with his vocals. And he told the band they could do whatever they want with it or play it whenever. So Bono was like, this was obviously planned and kind of pre-planned, pre-rehearsed, but this was not our U2. This was not our, we've got things down to a T, we know what's happening in this minute, but this was like, he even said something about how their shows are like a pretty on the, I forget exactly what he said, maybe you remember, like pretty like to the T production. But it was like, it's our show, I guess we can do whatever we want. I'm paraphrasing, but he's like, let's record a song together. And it was so cool. He and Edge had us, the audience, practice the beginning and the end and the chorus. And then Neil Finn had the verses. It was a recorded version of his voice, dedicated to Alexei Navalny. Bono said that neither of them, Neil Finn or the U2s, had talked to their record labels. So it may never be released. So everyone should get out their phones and record it and send it to anyone who loves freedom. And even some of the people who don't, because they need it. So that was like crazy spontaneous. And I use the word spontaneous in U2 language, not in my language of booking a flight.
Right.
24 hours before a concert halfway across on the other side of the country. That was spontaneous. This was planned, but unrehearsed with an audience. And I'm like, oh, maybe that's what they were sound checking. There was so much stuff. But the big, big, big surprise, and I feel like if you're listening to this, you already know this.
Yeah.
That, you know, he says this a lot, but he's been getting a lot more kind of free with it, where he's like saying, you know, we don't need to pretend we're doing a fucking encore. Like, this is the encore, but we're just going to keep playing. And then he said, but we might do an actual encore. And that's when we knew we were getting 40. That's when it was confirmed. That's the song that someone had said.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was a fan-driven movement. I don't know that they would have done it on their own. Mm-hmm. I really don't. But it's so obvious.
Yeah.
40th show. The song is 40. The song was written in roughly 40 minutes. The story goes that they were running out of time in the studio and they needed one more song. So they locked the doors so that they could finish one more song, and that became 40. And I guess they had roughly 40 minutes left on their time in the studio. But it was, they kept up the Noah's Ark graphics, the as Devlin stuff, but it kept rotating colors, these gorgeous colors, deep and light reds and deep and light blues and greens. And it was beautifully planned. beautifully. That, I mean, we just cried. Her friend Shawnee, she just like held me like a baby. During With or Without You Two, I just wept. I just wept. And our friend, she's much taller than me. So we put our arms around each other and I rested my head on her shoulder. And then she rested her head on my head. And we just like cried, like, not like weeping, but like just tears just streaming down our faces. And then when U2.com released the video, there's not a dry eye on that rail.
Yeah.
A really cool, oh, this was cool that, well-versed U2 fans will know that Edge plays bass on that and Adam plays guitar. So there was definitely an eruption in the room when they switched sides and got their respective instruments. Like, that was a huge thing for people who didn't know, but know that tidbit. Yeah. That was huge. That was a cool moment. And then also, you know, traditionally Larry leaves the stage last. The drums go on for a while everyone else is gone. And Edge left last.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was not that much longer after Bram, but Bram finished. And then within like 10 seconds, 10, 15 seconds, Edge was off stage, but he was the last one on stage playing those bass notes.
Yeah.
Which was a really nice touch. It wouldn't have been right. Wouldn't have been right to have Bram on stage last.
I agree. I agree with that.
Yeah. It was a really, as you know, Bono leaves first. And as he did, he went over to Edge and he kissed him on the shoulder. Yeah. It's so strange. It really feels like a door closed, mm-hmm. like a bookend. I shouldn't say a door closed because that feels like,
yeah,
but it really felt like that's the chapter. And now what's next? Like we get to put a divider in there.
Yeah.
It was a really final moment for the residency. And
did they seem emotional?
What?
Did the band seem emotional?
Yeah. Yeah. They, was it? It must have been after Beautiful Day, but before 40. You know, they all like line up.
Yeah.
The four of them and wave and whatever. And then they turned around and the band's photographer was taking pictures that those are online now. Everyone, yes. So it was kind of like the final picture of the band with the audience. And there's a picture that a fan took. You can see where the four of them were just in a huddle holding each other, like hugging each other. And yeah. I definitely heard Bono's voice crack at one point, but I can't remember where it was. It might have been early. I can't hear it in the recording of 40, but I heard it somewhere. It was enough that it hit me in the heart. So, goodness. And then, you know, everyone wanders around the floor and we got to take pictures and we see. That is lovely that the GA is that small because you see everyone.
Right.
Security is trying to like move us along. And people are like, but it was so, you don't understand. But I know they had worked, they had to take shit down.
Yeah.
The how long to sing this song lasted a long time. A long time. And they had the Noah's Ark in one of those darker, it might have been like in the darker red or something. I forget what it ended on. But they finally, I'm like, they're going to need to change. No one's leaving until they change that back to the light color.
Right, right.
They did. And then instead of the Glorify song, they played a Brian Eno song.
Oh, really?
Which I did not know. I did read that. I know they didn't do Glorify. But that's a nice full circle that they're on this Brian Eno stage,
yeah.
inspired stage. And then it ends with a Brian Eno song. Yeah. Dave Grohl was there.
Yeah, I saw that.
Bono did the We Believe in You, David Grohl, and we died.
Oh, really?
We all died. All I Want Is You, he dedicated to teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you've got a teacher in the house. It's your, you know, FLOTUS, Dr. Jill Biden. Ryan Tedder was there. What else did I say? I forget. But we're like, if that ends up being a recorded release song, we can say we were on an album, a song with Dave Grohl, Jill Biden, Ryan Tedder, Chris Martin. Do we get royalties? And the how long to sing the song, of course, spilled out into the streets. So I was talking to our young friend Avril, who was over from Dublin, and I also I'm like, that was your first 40. And she's like, yeah, it was. And so I asked on Twitter today, I was like, when was your first 40? I feel like it's something people remember.
Yeah.
And people have been answering, and it's been great. It's been so fun to see all these. It's all over the place. It's everything from 84 and 85 to 2015 to friggin' this weekend.
Right.
Was my first 40 the same as your first 40 in Atlanta? Right. So I was with a friend of ours who was there with us in Atlanta in November 1997. And so we were reminiscing about the first time we heard 40 and it was together. And she was like, don't you remember? We were like holding hands, leaving.
Yeah.
The show was over. We were trying to get out of there. And then it started and we screamed and ran back to our spots, all holding hands. I'm like, I can picture it.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't remember things. And I remember that.
Yeah. It was a moment for sure.
It was a moment. So yeah, hop on Twitter and tell us when your first 40 was. I mean, it's easy to look up nowadays.
Yeah.
But most people remember. I guess unless they started in a time when that was normal. Some people did say that they heard 40 from fans way before they heard it from the band.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And that was you.
Yeah.
Right? Your Zoo TV show. You've told that story on here before that it came out into the streets. Man, I did not want to leave those people. And I realized like that some of the funnest part of touring is like, who are you going to find in what city?
Yeah.
It was hard, for sure. Gosh, what else?
Well, I listened to most of the show, but I kept falling asleep.
It was late.
It was so late, and I was in bed, and you know, it doesn't seem real when you're listening to.
Yeah.
It did the first few times, like before I'd been to a show. The few that I listened to, those felt real. But then after I had been to my own show, I didn't listen anymore. But I wanted to hear 40, and that definitely woke me up. I mean, I didn't know for sure, but there were strong rumors that it was going to be played.
Right.
And, yeah.
Well, that just
gave me a jolt.
It just made so much sense.
Yeah.
Oh, I met Scott from December.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He was there with his daughter, who, truly delightful. And I think it was rather last minute. I mean, I think they'd already been in town for a few days, but it was rather last minute that they figured out that they could come. And it was like, I was getting ready to leave the venue, the main floor, the GA floor. And I look up and he looks up and we're like, oh. was very exciting. If you all don't listen to the very, very end of our episode, I will tell you that our opening little music and the end music is courtesy of the band December.
Yes.
So it was delight. I was so overwhelmed. I mean, it was a joy. And I'm like, Europe 2025? And they're like, come to Scotland. Maybe. I don't know. Let's see if I'm still married. I would love to spend 10 days in Europe seeing you two shows.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know that that could happen. But to go like UK or something, like a kind of contained area. I don't know. I don't have any. I can kind of only describe it. I can't even, like, I'm still having a lot of feelings that I don't know.
I bet.
How to, and honestly, any video that you can see of 40, that's better than words to describe it. So, yeah.
I can't imagine how you feel because I'm still going through my withdrawals.
It's going to get, well, so like all last night and all day today, like our social media and just, and the internet just in general has been like blowing up.
Yeah.
Everyone's posting stuff, everyone's commenting on it and sharing and this and that. So it's like kept me in the, but now like I'm kind of posting stuff to pull teeth.
Right.
Keep talking to me, people. Keep talking to me. I need more. So that's when people end up back in their normal lives. That's gonna be the worst.
Yeah.
The hardest. But I guess I gotta go back to normal life too. I count all my blessings. All of them. So I guess we get to go dream it all up again now.
Yep.
I hope the band is resting. Word on the street is that they're going to start probably get back into the recording studio soon.
It's about time.
It sounds like they've got a lot of stuff done. And I don't know what done means.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's anywhere near released, like, but they've got some solid groundwork is the kind of the rumors that I've heard. So yeah, hopefully they can get that puppy off before Christmas, you know?
Yeah.
I'm ready. This is the longest stint they've had between albums, I believe. If 2000, not including Songs of Surrender. Because 2017, yeah?
Yeah.
That's a long time. I mean, pandemic, like, there's lots of reasons.
Yeah.
And they've done lots of stuff.
Yeah.
It's not like they've been quiet, but not as a band. So, hopefully that means Larry's doing well and able to get back into the studio and did all his parts hold up. Keep doing well, Larry. I got my first guitar pick.
I saw.
I've never gotten a guitar pick before.
That's so exciting.
I actually got me too. But I was very excited. He was going down the line.
Yeah.
Before the show, it was cute. Dallas walked around the stage with a big sign that said, thank you.
Aww.
That was cute.
Yeah.
I just, watching the crew be so happy, you know, during With or Without You and Beautiful Day, and then especially 40, like we were on the side of the stage so we could see like kind of in, not all the way into the underworld, but there was a lot of crew action coming back and forth on the other side of the rail for us. And there's so much hugging and crying. And it's like, you could just, they're such a family. And I love that they were feeling emotional too. You probably also can't fucking wait to get out of the desert.
I'm sure.
I mean, I was there for 22 hours and I still feel like my nose is dry.
Yeah. I noticed something when I got back. So I think I have the opposite of what Bono has. Because
yeah.
I sneeze like 20 times a day. And I don't think I sneezed once when we were in Vegas.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I get both congested and dry.
Yeah.
Which it really sucks.
Yeah.
Wow. So you're the... If you are allergic to desert weed, it has a positive effect on you.
Yeah.
To all of you all that have, if this is your first listen, or it's not your first listen, but you are now starting to follow us on, I should not be looking at my phone right now. I just opened it up and Instagram's here and it's the National Park Services and it's a bunch of different poops.
Ew.
And then at the end, it's just a fox pooping. I just can't handle that. Listeners, we go to a lot of national parks, we being my family, and we literally own poop guides. Because sometimes when you're out hiking,
yeah,
and you're out there and you see sometimes, like, you got to know what's around you. And if it's like a fox, that's not a problem. But if it's a bear, it might be. Or like a mountain lion, that's a problem. It's good. We need to know.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's not all paw prints and says it's a lot of poop.
Hey, so Hillary and I already finished recording, but I want to try and fit this in because I just remembered it. And I thought it was a cool insight into the content on Octum Baby. When Hillary and I were at a show a few weeks ago, after So Cruel, Bono said something to the effect of, that was one apology, here's another. And then went into Ultraviolet. I don't know if those were his exact words, but it was pretty close to that. Well, at the last show that just happened on Saturday night, after So Cruel, he said, again, something to the effect of, that's one apology. Here's the other side of the story. And then going into Ultraviolet. So I never thought of the content of those songs being so related. I mean, I guess the whole album is related in some way or another, but I just thought that was a cool insight that I'd never read or heard before and wanted to share. Okay, back to the pod.
I don't know what I was saying. Thank you to the new listeners, new followers. We've got some new subscribers to our newsletter, which we should probably put one out. You can go to thegardentarts.com and sign up for that. We obviously do it incredibly rarely, but we should do one now. After this ep goes out, maybe.
Yeah.
A few more of you sign up. And then, yeah, now we gotta make up our own content until the band comes back.
I think we got spoiled.
Yeah, we did. We might have to do our next chart talk sooner than we think.
Yeah.
Now just dismantle Atomic Bomb. It's coming. Vertigo was off the hook like I've never, ever heard it.
I heard people say that.
The energy was, I mean, just insane. I'm glad you've heard other people say that. Yeah. I haven't talked with anyone about it. I know Bono has been quoted recently. I've heard him say relatively recent, last 3 years, that it's one of the songs he's proudest of because of how it connects with the crowd. So it's always fun. But this was like a friggin' explosion. Oh my God. It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was exhausting.
Oh, I'm sure.
But it was perfect.
Oh, tell us about the French toast.
Oh my gosh, the French toast. Okay, yeah, so we have a friend who, did she go to every show? Or was
Don't
there a
think
few in the
so.
beginning that she missed?
I think there were a few that she missed, but just a few.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, she probably went to 35 of the 40 shows. At least 30. Which meant that she was eating in Vegas a lot, especially at the Venetian. And she told us that Grand Lux, two locations, one in the Plaza, one in Venetian, has French toast that will change your life.
Those are
Life
her exact
changing
words.
French toast. And y'all, she went on about it every time. She had it all the time. Most breakfasts, I think she probably had it. Not most, every trip, I think. Every time she went to Vegas for every weekend, she would have it probably once. And they only serve it till 11 a.m. It's not like you can get it 24/7. This is a big, high hopes. When we were last in Vegas, you and me, Hillary, we tried and we just couldn't get there in time a few times. And then another one of our friends went and had it. She was very skeptical. And she's a truth teller. She's a big time truth teller. And she couldn't believe it. It was life changing. It was everything our friend said it would be. So, my last morning there, my flight wasn't until almost 2. And another one of our friends, the one that we cried together, she held me like a baby, was driving back to California. So she had some time, and we're like, we're going to go get that French toast. And then we heard that Zoo Station was still open that morning. So we did go back again and spent more money. Like, what the fuck? I'm so glad that there aren't constant YouTube merch stands all over the place, everywhere. But anyway. We even ordered it. We're like, the lady's like, can I get you a drink? We're like, we know what we want. We've been told it's life changing. She was not amused, but she brought it. Oh my God, you guys. First of all, it was kind of described as like thick Texas toast. And I don't know, that's a good description, but it is like seriously like 2 inches thick. And I don't know if they like flash fry it or something, but it is crispy on the outside and soft in the middle, but not like wet bread soft. And it wasn't eggy. It was perfection. Absolute perfection.
I'm starving now.
I had it with texted me this morning. She's like, I'm still full from the French toast. I'm not. But it was fun. After that, we went back in the Zoo Station. We took more pictures in the car, and we did the photo booth again. And I did buy the Peter and the Wolf book. That felt necessary. And then I'm at the checkout counter. You know they've got things that are only back there, and I'm like, give me a keychain. Just do it. I was actually glad. Sad, glad that they were out of the new programs. They updated the programs with all the dates on the back and then live photos inside. The original version doesn't have any live photos in it. And I think if they had it, I would have bought it. Because I think it's like a different book. But they were out, so phew. I have heard that stuff is already popping up onto YouTube.com. So apparently all the leftovers will be there. So if you miss something, there you go. Use that 25% off. 20% off.
Think it's 20.
Use that 20% off. Because at a discount, that's a discount. You won't get a Juice Station. I mean, you still have to pay shipping,
Shipping.
but it feels better. At least it's not the normal price and shipping.
Right.
Oh my goodness. So this was basically an hour of me talking.
We had a lot to say and I needed to hear it all.
Oh my goodness. I carried the mic with me and everything. I just didn't want to stop and work.
Yeah.
It was so good. And I was too tired anyway. But it was fun seeing people. You aren't supposed to be here. I told the friends, you know, like I told people. I also didn't want to shout it too loudly because what if like my plane got delayed or something?
Right.
I did get some relatively expensive insurance for my flight, where if it was more than 2 hours delayed, I could get a refund or point something. Because if it was more than 2 hours delayed,
You wouldn't, yeah.
At some point, it wouldn't have been worth it. So, sorry about the fox pooping, y'all. I'm leaving that. I don't even know why I picked up my phone. It's like there was a notification, so it was like habit. Okay.
Well, I'm glad you had such a great time.
I did. I wish you could have been with me.
But through you vicariously.
Well, we have lots. I still wish you and Amanda could have been with me. We've got a lot of fun ahead of us, though.
Yep.
And when that fun happens, this Miss Fun won't matter.
No, not at all.
Won't sting as much. So, okay. Anything else?
That's all I can think of. There's definitely no news.
No news at all. I mean, the biggest news was Larry and
40.
Oh, Lenny Kravitz was there one night.
Oh, yeah.
The same night as Larry. Bono still hasn't found his keys.
I guess they're gone.
Yeah. It would have been nice on the last night if he found his keys. That would have been cute.
Yeah, it would have been really cute.
Yeah. Except then I don't know how this story continues. Okay, I think I have to go to bed.
Yeah. I have to watch Jeopardy now.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is Monday night, not Sunday.
Right. Are there new episodes now?
Yes.
Good.
It's the Tournament of Champions.
Ooh. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy that.
Thank you.
If there's any YouTube or Bono stuff, let us know.
There was last week, and I didn't. But it was you two, the spy plane.
Oh. It's adjacent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure it's newsworthy.
It was Final Jeopardy, though.
Oh, my. Oh, okay.
I only knew it because it said, I can't remember the dates, but the date, it said something about May 1960. And I thought about Bono because that was when he was born.
He was born, yeah.
Also when the spy plane crashed.
Really? In May of 1960?
Yeah, I think on the day he was born, I'm pretty sure.
On May 10.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I got it right. I got Final Jeopardy right, so.
When did the U2 spy plane incident happen? May 1st.
Okay, well, May still. 1960. It got me in the right place.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I wonder if he knows that.
I'm sure
we can tell him over Whiskey and Geek.
Yeah.
I'm sure he does. I'm sure someone has told him.
Yeah. I'd like to think he watches Jeopardy.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, you would probably be a good competitor.
No, I'm not. I've got certain categories that I'm really good at, and then if it's math or science or geography or anything,
Yeah.
I'm not. I don't know a whole lot.
Anyway, on that note, say
Thank
good
you for
night.
listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yep. We'll see what
Oh,
happens.
that was something that several people asked when we were in Vegas, how often we record.
Yeah.
And I think people were impressed that we record every week.
People are definitely impressed.
Yeah.
Wait, what else was I going to tell you? It wasn't this trip. At one point, Sherry Lawrence really complimented us for the hard, consistent work we do for the community,
Yeah.
which was nice. We were standing in line to go into the show, and she was like, I don't know, four people behind us or something. And so she and I kept talking, and then, as you're like going through, you're passing different people.
Yeah.
And people kept knowing her. And someone was like, "What are you, the mayor of Sphere Town?" And she's like, "Yes." And so then she dubbed me Vice Mayor. And because we decided we got shit done. Like, she got the mustache thing done. I got the boom chop thing done.
Yeah.
He hasn't done any boom chop since, which
That's crazy.
feels pretty good.
Yeah.
So she said, once we're truly elected in the office, we're going to sign an executive order for Shine Like Stars and Discotheque. I mean, and once it's an executive order, you can't say no.
No.
But yes, we're now the mayor and the vice mayor of Sphere Town. Anyway, it was cute.
Yeah.
It's cute. Okay. Good night.
I still don't think I've recovered from not sleeping the
For
other
like a
night.
month. Oh, yeah.
No, I was in this like fog of like I'm sleeping. No, I'm not. I'm listening. I'm sl it, it like in like sleep purgatory.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, and it didn't start till like midnight, right?
No, it was so late.
Yeah. That would have been hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, my body, like, I mean, I never left this time zone, basically. I was
Right.
just exhausted and hungry the whole time. I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
Not complaining. Okay, go enjoy your Jeopardy. Okay, I love you.
Love you too. I'm glad you went and I'm glad you're back.
Same. Same. I've never done a trip like that. It was crazy. I would
Yeah.
do it again in a heartbeat. Absolute heartbeat. I've never arrived day of a show like that. Maybe on Pop Mart. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Well, when we would travel from show to show, we might.
Yeah.
But to arrive at 4 o'clock on a show day?
I don't know that I've ever cut it that close, but I've done it before.
Yeah, I know, because you would go home from work and like come, like,
Yeah.
I really, in my mind, I was like, I'm pulling a Hillary.
Yeah.
This is a classic Hillary.
Yeah. I was trying to think of the shows that I went to day of.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I don't remember, but
Well, and so, I mean, and now, for so long we've been getting there the night before because of GA.
right.
That is my one regret, is earlier on not trying to get on the rail. These last shows, it's been a fucking mess. And we just were never in town long enough to even get
Right.
a good number. But it would have been possible in the beginning. But we didn't know. We weren't in a position to at the time. So we were happy with what we were doing.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing I would change is try once. Or get up there once. But c'est la vie.
I mean, I thought that it was crazy at first, but the end just got.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Well, fine. I'll talk to you later. Okay, sounds good. Go win Jeopardy.
Yeah. We'll see.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye. Bye. Love you. Bye.
Love you. We'll be back next week with more U2ish content.
In the meantime, keep chatting with us on social media at @_GardenTarts.
Sign up for our newsletter at thegardentarts.com and share with your YouTube friends.
You can support us on Patreon, buy me a coffee, and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
Kissing Lips and Breaking Hearts, a U2ish podcast with The Garden Tarts, is created, produced, and edited by us, The Garden Tarts.
Intro and outro music by December.
See you next week.